Father, it's a joy that as your family we can intercede for the people of our towns, of our cities, of our nation. It's a joy, Lord Jesus, to connect with you when you said from the cross, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. And we realize in the people of our towns where they're participating in so much sin, and we can come together with your Son and say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Satan has blinded their minds. He's taken them captive. So today we want to just release through you, Jesus, because all the fullness of grace and truth comes through you. And we can pray as a kingdom and priest to be able to pray for the people of our towns, of our nation, and just release, Father, through your Son, Jesus, the grace and truth that comes through them and your Holy Spirit to minister, to prove what sin is all about, to prove what righteousness and judgment is all about. And so we wanted to speak over our people and say, let the glorious truth of Jesus Christ be released to break through where Satan has blinded the minds of the unbeliever, and let the revelation of Jesus Christ as the true Son of God in the image of God be released and break through all darkness. And we want to thank you. So Father, we receive by faith many that are lost that will start returning to you, Father. And we thank you as you minister in your grace in drawing people to yourself through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are working in us as a family of yours, Father, to be able to receive, to be able to minister, to be able to be part of the incredible ministry of reconciliation, the incredible ministry that you've given to us, Father. And we want to thank you for this. And this we receive through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Good. Good. Welcome, welcome. Good. Good to see you guys. Yeah. Last week, I had many, many questions after last Sunday, because I was speaking about how often we have all these conflicts in our lives. And very often, and I use the word, it's a, what I will call a demon of discipline, that we've opened up our lives to, open up the door for the demonic to come and really start to mess us around. And for us to begin to just really understand, sometimes things that are taking place, it's not just natural causes, but there's a spiritual cause behind this. And for us to begin to grow in discernment as we are involved in not in our own lives, but in other people's lives as well. Now, this, I think if I can sum up what God is busy doing for all of us, He wants us to be able to grow in the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. So when we looked at last week and we look at again at this portion of scripture where God disciplines us that we may partake in His holiness, If you grasp the reality of God's holiness, the freedom of sin in His holiness, and we were looking at our thoughts, can you imagine our thoughts being so free from all the doubts, from all the negative stuff? See, He wants us to grow more and more in the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine the freedom of our motives and our attitudes, where it's so pure, so full of life, it's so one with God? And that's the journey that we are on there. And that's why the Holy Spirit will really reveal to us anything that is hindering us from who we really are in Christ Jesus, because we are free in Him. But it's that working it out that He's busy with. And that's why it's so good to like pray a prayer like that. Father, speak truth to me. And that's what we're doing. So freedom is a big part, and that we're going to continue much this year in the journey of freedom. And part of it is recognizing, hearing the voice of God, being free from confusion, being free from, is this God's voice or not God's voice, being free from all of that. So we enjoy living as children of God in Christ Jesus, hearing His voice, knowing how to recognize to walk with Him and to grow in our relationship with Him and really just mature as sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. And so a lot of scriptures I want to just recap that we know as we just build on a little bit this morning from where we left off last Sunday. We know in John 8 where we see there that a scripture that we know very well. And He says to the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, if you hold to My teaching, you are really My disciples, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And this is part of the Holy Spirit's ministry. Remember, He's the Spirit of truth. Every deliverance is a truth encounter. You see, that's important to understand. When the Holy Spirit imparts truth, you know that God is busy setting us free from something and we're grabbing hold of that truth so that we can walk in the freedom of what that truth is all about. So very often when you, like even when you're doing deliverance ministry, demons, etc., it's always a truth encounter that takes place. Jesus is the truth. And that's crucial because a lot of ministry could take place, but it's not a truth encounter. And that's important for you and I. And this is why we are growing as children of God, to experience the freedom that truth brings so that we know how to minister the message and the ministry of reconciliation as we help others as well as we ourselves grow in the freedom of the truth. We don't realize just how bound we are until we have a truth encounter. And then we realize, I thought I was free, you know, and suddenly, wow, God. And the life of that freedom, of that truth, you start to grow and experience. And it's just, it's a marvelous journey that you and I walk in as we continue to just walk in truth as the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. And that's, He guides us. So it's a process of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. We get established in that truth, and then He shares more. We get established in that truth. It starts to bear fruit. That fruit is the freedom fruit that you and I experience as we grow in our Lord Jesus. So it's an important truth over here that God is sharing with us, that our true freedom is not found in anything else, but it's found in the truth that is found in Christ Jesus. The fullness of grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the life. He is the truth. So to find true freedom, we can't try and fill that up with activities, etc. It's in Christ Jesus and our obedience to Jesus as the Holy Spirit takes us into the truth found in Him. So that's important in our journey this year, in being established in Christ, growing up in Christ Jesus, really beginning to experience more and more the joy of the freedom and the fruitfulness that freedom produces. Another one that we know very well, again, just recapping, is the one in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in the context of the incredible new covenant. And this will play a major role this year as we grow in far more truth of what Paul is writing over here. But we know that even there from verse 15 onwards, even to this day when Moses has read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And we're going to spend a little bit of time again just focusing on the bigger picture, that we have been predestined to be conformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And we've just gone through a workshop a few weeks back of praying for families. And one of the big keys for us there was to grasp the fact that as we see our families suffering, we see so much taking place, we have to remember that God has predestined for us to be conformed into His likeness. So often we are praying for our families, oh God, bless them, help them, save them, etc. And suddenly we realize, but God, You're busy transforming me into Your likeness. And you're dealing with my motives. You're dealing with my reason for praying for them. You're dealing with so many things so that I'm growing into the reality that I've been created in the image of God. I'm a new creation. And so now we're being transformed. So when we're praying for our family members, it's no longer so that I can have a better life, so that the marriage is better, et cetera, et cetera. But you're starting to get the heartbeat of God for all those that are lost, et cetera. So all the time, the big picture for us is to realize that God created us in His image. That image was messed up. In Christ Jesus, we are this new creation. And in Christ Jesus, we have been conformed into the likeness of God again. And that's our growth. So that's the truth encounter. All the time, revealing anything that is hindering us and revealing who Christ is so that we can grow and experience the freedom as Paul writes over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's many ways of interpreting that. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And so we looked at this last few weeks back, and we realized that none of us are able to transform ourselves into the likeness of God. We can't do that. It's a work of Christ Jesus, the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the cross that dealt with the power of sin. And in Him we are this new creation. And so we're embracing and we're yielding to the Holy Spirit's ministry, because it's only through the Holy Spirit that we can really find the freedom, the growth, the reality of a new nature becoming so evident in our lives. And that's why Paul writes there, keep in step with the Holy Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, etc. Okay, because that sinful nature was not the image. It was a messed up image. But in Christ, now the Holy Spirit is working so that the true revelation of Christ in us can be made known through our lives. So we embrace truth because it's about the revelation of God through our lives, so that people can see and experience the real God and not a religious God. Because most of our people in our nation know of a religious God through a religious system. And that's quite ugly. So God is, we're saying, God, work in us so that people can see in us you. They can see your image in us. And anything that's hindering it, remove it. And that's part of why our Father disciplines us, so that we can partake and share in His holiness and really begin to, as Peter writes, say we may partake in His divine nature, etc. Therefore, it carries on about the spiritual growth from that onwards. Galatians 5 verse 10. We know this very well. Verse 1, first of all, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And then he says, stand firm then and not let yourself be burdened again by yoke of slavery. And then he carries on about the reality. And then verse 13, you, my brothers, were called to be free. So do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, rather serve one another in love. And then he carries on about life in the Spirit and living by the Spirit. You'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, etc. And so this is the freedom journey. And so in a few, probably maybe March sometime, we will then have another Pacific workshop that we will have at the coffee shop again, where we're going to go into quite depth on the freedom journey. And it's going to be quite a deep one, where we really, God, shine your light into us, that what Christ has done, we take hold of everything so that we can really be the children of light that we are. And Christmas Day was an important day for us, to recap, because remember we were sharing about Christ being the light, but we also, Jesus says that we are children of light. We are light in the kingdom. And when you and I took hold of that Christmas morning and we accepted the fact that we are children of light, God releases an authority when you accept who we are. See, if we don't accept the fact, we're never operating in authority. We might have the title, but we're not operating in the authority. In a workplace, you might have a title, but if you don't accept that title and what comes with that title, you never operate in authority. Likewise in the kingdom of God. We are children of light. We said yes, we accept that's who we are. And now Christ really released a greater authority upon our lives so that we can live as children of light and we can help advance the kingdom of God. And with that, you will find, maybe you, some of you are starting to experience this, that you start to experience that you become more, there's far more clarity and you're able to recognize darkness much easier. Now you're able to see and you realize, yeah, we're in this kingdom of light. We see here, this is the activity. We see the people in the darkness. And now we get to the place where we say, Lord, show us now how we're going to get involved. How are you going to lead us? How are we going to be involved? So that people in the darkness, the area that you're showing us, now we can move in there because we've got an authority to expose the darkness. And that exposure is for people to come to repentance and get saved. Okay, so that's why we don't compromise anymore. We're not people that are playing with darkness now. The Holy Spirit speaks, we repent straight away, close that door so that the enemy's got no access, and we repent straight away, walk in repentance, what God has spoken, and we grow in that particular area of truth that the Holy Spirit shared. And we don't realize how many open doors we have. You know, being in as a child of God for many times and been involved in ministry. Many Christians will battle, but why am I battling? But they're playing the lotto. Can you imagine Christ in them playing the lotto? You see? And then what's happening? They're opening the door. See, it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives. That's the truth. A truth encounter for deliverance when it comes to financial issues. See, and Christians are in poverty and battling because they don't realize they open the door for this disciplinary demon to come and steal, rob, and destroy. That's the nature of a demon. Steal, rob, and destroy. And we battle. I want to know the future. Horoscopes. You see? And many believers still go that. And can you imagine Christ in them who is eternal, who is the way? And we as Christians, oh, see, it's a sin. It's open up a door. And that's why we're going to go through an intensive time to anything like this, God will just begin to show. And that's a be brave and say, Holy Spirit, reveal anything. And he will do that with great joy because we have been predestined to be conformed into the likeness of his son, Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will always show us anything that is in the way of that image, the trueness of who we are in Christ Jesus. And we can confess that sin, repent from that sin, and so forth. We know it's been dealt with in Christ Jesus. But we also know that there's a process of working out our salvation. We know that we are holy, those who are being made holy. We know that truth. So we're not bypassing Christ Jesus. We know we just want to receive and grow into everything that he has done for us, and we want to develop, to mature in that area. So back to Hebrews chapter 12. Just a few things there this morning. He starts off there in verse 1, 2, and again, If you look at all the writings in the New Testament, you will see like the apostles will always begin by helping the church to be established in what Christ has already done, who we are in Jesus, before he even begins to mention about a lifestyle. And that's crucial because religion will face on a lifestyle bypassing what Christ has done and operating in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that's empowering us and understanding the power of grace to be able to grow and to be able to apply what the teaching, the lifestyle teaching is all about. And likewise over here, he starts off and says, now look at Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on him. Okay, he's the author of your faith. He's the perfecter of your faith. That's his ministry. That's what he does. So you see, again, a focus is back on Jesus Christ, because that's how we always move on in life, is to be having our focus on Jesus. And then he says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And then he carries on, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then consider him. Again, the focus is on considering Jesus. Our starting point is always what Christ did on the cross for you and I. What's the victory? What has he already done? Not what he's going to be doing tomorrow. What has he already done? And to live in the power of that incredible finished work of Christ Jesus. And then he carries on and he says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you may not have resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addressed you as sons. And this is where we looked at last Sunday. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone who accepts as a son. Now, it's fascinating, because when we started to speak like this, you can't put God in a box. You know what Paul writes in Romans 2, this wicked people. And he says to them, the kindness of God leads them to repentance. And here he's speaking to us as his sons and daughters. My discipline leads you to repentance. But God's kindness comes in an amazing way. And I was thinking of you, Eddie Nana, when we were singing, where you had your car accident. It was God's kindness that kept you and your family alive. And what was the result? You all came to know Jesus Christ after that. You see, his kindness leads us to repentance. Like the whole family could have been dead. Things like that. We don't realize, you can't put God in a box of how he works in every individual's life so uniquely. He's just so awesome, isn't he? Hey? Yeah. And then we read over here, and then he goes, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Isn't that an amazing statement that he writes over here? The Father of our spirits and live. Remember when Jesus speaks about the reality of life. When he speaks about there in John chapter 10, verse 10, and he's speaking about the shepherd and the sheep hear his voice. And he says to the disciples, and he says to the people over there, he says there that anyone that climbs in another way outside of Jesus Christ is a thief. And a thief, the focus is to come and steal, rob, and destroy. But I've come to give you life. Life in abundance. Remember when Jesus is speaking to the, in John chapter 1, where he's speaking about the Heavenly Father, those who are born again by the will of the Father, they've been fathered by him. And here we see something profound about this way that God is disciplining us, because it's dealing with spirit to spirit. He has fathered us. We have received life. And the discipline that the Father brings to us is to help us to live in the reality of the abundant life that we have in him. And that's important to understand. Because it's so easy for us to try and satisfy the flesh. And not understanding that who we are in the Spirit and our new nature in Christ Jesus and the discipline that our Father is bringing is to help us to be able to live in the reality of who we are in Christ Jesus. So often we want to pray away the pain so that our flesh is comforted. But that's not the purpose of this. Okay? That's why in counseling ministry, those who do counseling ministry, you don't want to counsel them and feed their old sinful nature and, oh, etc. No, that's dead. You want to counsel them to grow up who they are in Christ Jesus. That is died. It hasn't got a power over you, a new creation, and to help them to grasp the truth and have a truth encounter and not a flesh encounter. Okay, so here we see this is so important, and it's fascinating in that John 10, where we see that Satan comes to steal, rob, and to destroy, or kill. The word there is kill. And it's fascinating when you look at the Greek, that word kill, it's always used in sacrificing an animal for an offering, that particular word. And here you can almost imagine where we are living sacrifices. We present our bodies to God. We have been purchased, redeemed by the blood of Christ Jesus. And the enemy wants to come and use us as his sacrifice. You see, and that's why we don't want to have open any door where the enemy can say, I've got a trophy. Really, look what I've got. I've got this believer now on the altar over here serving me. We don't want that because we belong to Christ Jesus. And that's why we're asking Holy Spirit, show anything that's open, that's allowing the enemy to be able to really mess me around, that I want to repent from, because I don't want to be a trophy of the devil. I belong to Jesus Christ. Okay, and that's part of the freedom journey, all the time. And the Holy Spirit takes us step by step, all the time. And He exposes us. He reveals truth to us, shines light in these areas. And we can repent from that over there. So that's important just to grasp that over there. It was in John 1, it says there, yet to all who did receive him, to